Gloria and I really appreciate the opportunity to share with everyone today what we've been learning together regarding the importance of godly order in the home, both the invisible and the visible aspects of that thought. Both of us grew up in Christian homes with parents pursuing the Lord, so we've not only heard about what we're supposed to do when it comes to order in the home, but also have tasted and seen that it is good. And so the title or summary of what we'd like to share is A Peaceful Home. I will share first regarding the foundation of a peaceful home, the invisible, and Glow will follow up with some practical examples, the visible. The verse that the Lord put on our hearts relating to this matter is from Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This verse is actually Paul's introduction or foundation to his thoughts on the Christian home. You'll see his exhortations to wives, husbands, children, and parents in Colossians 3:18 through 21. But what precedes all of these is this encouragement. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So the central question is who or what is ruling our hearts? What we found is whoever or whatever is ruling the hearts of us parents will rule the home. Or in other words, if you want it a little shorter, the ruler of our hearts is the ruler of our homes. And at least in our experience, we found that there are a couple of options when it comes to the ruler of the home. Keep in mind, though, that not all of these are good options. Number one, our children, Joshua and Selah. Or option two, the parents, Michael and Gloria. There could be the third option, other parents, even godly parents. The fourth option, the world. And finally, God. Everyone wants a peaceful home, at least we believe so. And option one is, well, let's just gratify our children all the time. If we please them, let them run the show. Then we'll have peace. Or two, there's the opposite side of the spectrum. We know it's not good to let the children run all over us, so we're going to rule our house with an iron fist. Or three, we let other parents rule our house. What are those parents doing? Let's do that, or this, so that they'll like us and think we're good. Option four, there's the world. What will the world think? How does society perceive our family? And finally, and unfortunately, most of the time after we've tried all the other options, there's, well, what about God? What if we let Him rule our house? And so this is the choice that Gloria and I have realized that we both have every morning. Who or what is going to rule our house today? This choice is invisible, but the invisible dictates the visible. I'll say that one more time. The invisible dictates the visible. We all want to see a visible change in our family life, but that cannot happen without us parents doing that which is not seen, spending quiet time in the secret place with the Lord and enthroning Him over our own lives and the lives of each family member. As parents, we often mistakenly think that teaching our children is all about what we say to them, and that's, Gloria and I have made that mistakes a lot. But experience shows that more is caught than taught. In other words, they learn more from what we do than what we say. A peaceful home doesn't start with telling our children to be at peace, and we cannot expect them to do something that we ourselves are not doing. For example, Gloria and I sometimes find ourselves loudly yelling, "Be quiet!" Just think about that for a second. When we do that, and things like that, we're actually just stoking the fire instead of putting it out. But that's just one example. Ultimately, our children need strong, consistent examples if they are to catch what we want them to catch. It's a daily battle. What kind of lessons will they have learned from imitating us? We are setting up our children for the future, and yes, that includes being responsible and orderly at school and work, but even more importantly, being responsible and orderly in the Father's business and in His house. Will they see the importance of a life ruled by God, or just hear us lecture about it hypocritically? Will they ultimately live a peaceful life, a life ruled by God? Will they eventually have a peaceful home when they're older? Will they be faithful stewards in the Lord's house? All of that starts now with us parents choosing each day to enthrone the Lord in our own lives and praying for the peace of God to rule in the hearts of each family member.
Now we'd like to share some practical examples that help to cultivate a peaceful home. Now we've caught many of these examples as children, but just because we saw the example and it was taught to us does not mean it's easy now to execute as adults. I also want to reemphasize that we cannot obtain a peaceful home just by checking off a list or by imitating what someone else does. As Michael already mentioned, the peace of God must rule in our heart first. And then, day by day, we take practical steps to establish a peaceful home. These examples are just, you know, what the Lord has been revealing to us need to be changed in our life, and that work is ongoing. We are still learning. So the first example is waking up early before the children so that we can spend quality quiet time with the Lord, get tasks done, and prepare for the day. Now, the most important aspect of waking up early is to meet the Lord, because He is the source of all that we require to face the day. Also, waking up early allows us to accomplish a few tasks and prepare for the day before the children wake up, which means during the day we can spend more time with our children, we will be less stressed thinking about the things that need to be done, and there won't be so much to do at the end of the day so that we're not wearing ourselves out. And this matter of preparing beforehand, it really is so important because it helps us to stay punctual. I also want to mention that I am totally the opposite of many of these examples, but this is what the Lord has been working on in my life. So the second example is keeping a tidy home. And we found that children can actually learn to do chores at a young age. Joshua is 2, and he has learned to hold a little handheld vacuum to help me pick up little things on the ground. He can wipe down the table and large appliances, and he can pick up his own toys. He's even learning how to make his own bed. But on our end, we don't have to make these things feel like chores for our children. We can make it fun by singing songs or making it a game or giving them a reward at the end. And our children are more capable than we give them credit for. So don't feel like you need to step in every time and do it yourself. Just be there to guide them and help them to finish the task on their own. Another note about keeping a tidy home is it's a lot easier if we clean up a little bit here and there throughout the day, so that at the end of the day, when we really don't feel like cleaning up, we have less to do. And if we do leave the mess till the next day, it feels like a burden, and it can cause stress and strain on you and your family. It's springtime now, so we can do some spring cleaning to simplify our homes, because the more stuff we have, the more you have to manage. And by manage, I mean you have to organize and store and clean, and all of that takes time and energy. So the third example is having structure and schedule to our day. Our children really benefit from having a routine and knowing what they can expect. But more importantly, we need to set a schedule for ourselves too, so that we're not wasting the day away. The fourth example isn't really an example, but it's just an encouragement to set the expectation for you and your children now. Mom and Dad, we really need to be in agreement, on the same page about what the standard is for our home. And that needs to start now. This is the age when our children are most teachable, and we can start to build a solid foundation for their future. So if we aren't establishing expectations for our children, then they don't know what they should be doing. But if we do set a standard for our home, then we can be encouraged that our children will rise up to what is expected of them. So may we do all of this for the glory of the Lord, not to be seen by man, but that He would be glorified through us and through our families.
在准备这个的时候就很有负担，感谢主，昨天主呢又给我一个提醒，告诉我今天要分享什么。昨天小孩子在准备中文考试的时候。 他问我说这个生字要写几遍，然后他们我就说三四遍，他们听成12遍，他喜欢之后12遍之后就告诉我说他脖子很疼，看着他有点抱怨的样子，然后我说那我们就一起聊一聊，我们一起跟主我们一起聊。 我们就问他说，你当你觉得抱怨的时候，你有没有先感恩？我们今天有在这样一个房子里面啊，你有这个一个书桌，你还有这个机会啊，就是有没有先怀感恩呢？我们的心就先感恩了，就不会有抱怨了。像有很多的小朋友还没有家啊，没有学习的机会啊，他们还要为很多事情去担忧的时候，你已经很幸福了。其实到后来呢，我们就跟他一起在主面前献上感恩的时候，我们老大掉眼泪了。他觉得妈妈对不起。他说，哎呀，我不应该抱怨。哎呀，被他说了，我自己心里也被他给触动到了。所以真的是感谢主，在教养孩子上面，我们如果按照圣经上帖撒罗尼迦书前书五章16-18节所说的，要常常喜乐，不住祷告，凡事谢恩。我们带着孩子凡事谢恩，在我们心里充满感恩的时候，就没有我们任何抱怨的空间了。我对孩子有一点很大的期待，就是凡事不要抱怨，凡事感恩，因为只有这样，你的人生才有可能喜乐。否则的话，这个世界上的事情有太多，你认为对你不好或者不公，或者是你觉得你很辛苦的地方，或者你不被理解，你委屈你不受尊重，很多很多的事情。但是我希望我的孩子他是喜乐的，这一点是任何东西都换不来的。不管他以后学业有多成功啊，事业有多成功，但是如果他的心里缺少喜乐的话，那么他这一辈子就不会有幸福感的。还有就是我很感谢，就是神给我们三个孩子的不同的这个才干啊，至少现在认为，我自己发现他们各有各的弱点，但又各有各的长处啊。我就经常就是告诉他们，你要看到自己有什么，不要看到自己没有什么。当你看到自己有什么的时候，你会觉得第一很自信，第二很感恩，第三呢，你就知道你该怎么做啊。不好意思，稍等我一下。我们老大呢，很逻辑思维很好，他数学很强。老二呢，就是这个恋情方面，老师说很有天赋。老三呢，喜欢绘画。那我就跟他们说，不要跟你哥哥姐姐比，他们很厉害的。你呢，不要觉得说在他们的影响你很有压力，你就想主耶稣赐给你的是 special 的，你的 special 呢，这个足够，就是这个恩典足够你用了。你要把你这个给，就是在这个路上你去努力它，然后呢，你会享受当下。当然不要跟别人比，就想说我享受主耶稣给我的一切，然后呢，把他对我的这个恩典赐予啊，我来回馈给别人。就是你长大之后，你可以做很多帮助别人的事情。我这个孩子们他就不会有这种攀比啊，或者是觉得很自卑啊，就是我和哪些方面是不如人家的，他会觉得我就是很自信、很快乐，很满足、很知足的。但是在这条路上，并不是让孩子觉得我知足，我就是不上进的。就是分享的下面一点就是，孩子在做事情的时候，态度很重要，结果不是很重要。这个态度就是，我要求他们，做什么事情都必须要认真，要刻苦。当然，刻苦的路上很多会有，就是像我刚才说有抱怨，但是我们满怀感恩的心，心里就不会有抱怨的空间，你就不会觉得苦苦就累，而是一种享受。当然，这个有时候就是一个度，没有让他们到达就是累的极限啦，就是都是他们能够承受的这个范围之内的。我就想想，其实孩子的未来的路啊，最终还是掌握在耶稣的手里，我们的主耶稣手里的，并不是我们的所能所有的。我们所期待他的，可能我们认为是最好的，但 其实并不一定是，因为我们所看到的还是有限的，就在眼前的，觉得孩子应该这样，以后很好。但是主耶稣爱他们，他预备的路远远比我们要想象要好得多。所以呢，我们带着孩子跟主亲近，让他跟主不偏离他的道，走他的道，然后呢，在他的所赐予的这个才干和天赋下面，我们去努力，明天就交给主，不要担忧明天，就享受当下。我经常跟孩子说，不管你是在做家务事，还是在学习，还是在帮助别人的时候，你就在享受，就是一种享受，不要有任何负担，不要担心结果怎么样。你参加比赛也好，或者是学校学习也好，最重要是我们享受这个过程，满怀感恩的心享受这个过程，这个是妈妈最对你就是的期待。然后刚刚分享的就是最主要的，我们还有我还有一点就是，我对孩子就是的要求没有说就是对他在学业啊或者学习上就对他的一个结果有很高的要求，但是我对他的平时的就是这种品行啊，比如说对弟弟哥哥姐姐哥哥就兄弟姊妹的 nice 的程度啊，或者是对父母的这个尊敬的这个事情，或者对别人的礼貌，就或者是对这个自己的自己的东西的整理呀、然后对自己的 schedule 制定这个方面，我还是要求很严格的。像他们我们家就是之前小孩子有个习惯，就是扔在地上的东西他会不会马上捡起来，为了这个事情呢，我跟他们也规矩，我有朋友告诉我说，你这样子做他们会告你的，到时候在美国不许打孩子的。我呢准备一个站，就是说要求他们，如果你们把自己的那个就是每个人有一个地方的学习的那个环境，如果你们没有收拾好，那么刚开始他们讲了记不住，后来就说了，如果一天发现的话，就是十下，就是在手心里面打十下，没有很重，但是就是一个让他一个记下来，就是这个事情也很重要。我们必须要养成一个随手整理的这个习惯，让我们每个东西都是 organize 好的，不要乱七八糟。其实这个事情呢，只执行四天，只打了四天有这个事情，但是从第四天开始，他们每个人都整整齐齐的。所以我就跟大家分享了一个，就是在我们箴言上23:13说，不可不管教孩童，你用杖打他，他必不至于死。箴言29:15说，杖打和责备能够增加智慧，放纵的儿子使母亲羞愧。当然这个收拾是一件事情，另外就是如果他们对弟弟妹妹如果有做出一个我认为说很出格的事情，那么他们我也会用这个杖来管教他。当然在管教的之后，我通常会跟他一起来祷告，我会告诉他就是妈妈很爱你，我才会去管教你，就像主耶稣很爱我们，所以他管教我们一样的。并不是这个杖打在你的手上就代表妈妈很讨厌你，或者是嫌弃你，而是妈妈是想让你更好。最后说一点，就是我经常会跟他们说的一句话，就是我感谢主耶稣，就是把你们三个赐给妈妈，你们也要感谢你们有这个 sibling， 因为孩子在成长过程 sibling 之间会有一些问题的，因为他们会有一些相争，会有一些相吵，尽管他们大部分的时候很相亲相爱的，但是你知道我们都是罪人，有些时候心里面还是会有很多这个争执的东西。所以我也跟他分享了诗篇的127:3说，儿女是耶和华所赐的产业，所怀的胎好，都是他所赏赐的。我也告诉他，你们都是耶和华赐给妈妈的，所以妈妈妈妈非常的满足，爱你们。所以经常跟孩子告诉他们，他们不会是只给我们增加什么负担，尽管有些时候我们也会没有办法做到完全不惹孩子的气，但是绝大部分还是告诉他们， 妈妈就是非常的爱他们，就是把我们的爱是来自于我们的主耶稣基督的，因为人的爱有时候真的是很，有时候是苍白的，有时候很软弱的，只有来自主耶稣的才是刚强的。谢谢姊妹们，谢谢弟兄姊妹，我分享到这里。
谢谢姊妹的分享，真的是求主给我们喜乐感恩的心，用爱来管教我们的儿女。下面我们请 Scott 和 Sophia 来给，sorry， 是那个梅东华弟兄和吕林姊妹给我们分享。
弟兄姐妹平安。今天想跟大家分享一段经文，是以弗所书第六章第一到第四节。你们做儿女的要在主里听父母，这是理所当然的，要孝敬父母，使你得福，在世长寿，这是第一条带应许的诫命。你们做父亲的，不要惹儿女的气，只要照着主的教训和警戒养育他们。但我今天是讲，主要是讲第四节了，但是把前面三节都跟一起讲，是因为我之前一直有一个错误，就是我因为第一节和到第三节它都是儿女父母，父母儿女，然后我读到第四节的时候，我的脑子里就是自动的就是把它看作是你们做父母的不要惹儿女的气。直到有一次聚会的时候，有一位讲道的弟兄特别把这段经文拿出来讲，说这边是他并没有说是你们做父母的，他们说是你们做父亲的。那个时候我才转过来，真的，我这是好像以前完全没有在意到这边是单独是说父亲哦。虽然很好奇这里为什么没有提到母亲，但是更重要的是这段经文让我认识到这个做父母，作为一个父亲养育儿女的责任这个责任大到神在圣经里面单独拿出来对父亲说。现在我每次读到这段经文的时候就是一方面我是很惭愧因为我在养育儿女上面有很多的软弱，那另外一方面我真是赞美这个造物主的奇妙，因为他知道我在这方面的软弱，他特别在圣经上面特别的提出来。那使徒保罗在新约圣经里面就讲到，在人的肉体之中没有良善，一个跟随主的人属乎肉体的时候，他就回到了老我的里面，罪就发动了。我自己就是常常落入这样一种输血气的情况当中有时候孩子他做错了一些事情，或者说我叫他去做一些应该要做的事情，结果他可能在玩或者是怎么样没有听到，可能跟他说了很多很多次他还是不听，这个时候就会非常非常生气，然后导致就是一下子血气上来，完全就失去了冷静，有时候就是大声的斥责他们，甚至会动手打他们。那神就让我看见这样一种打骂的方式已经不是管教了，因为这里面没有爱。孩子们可以虽然会他们会暂时的顺服下来，但是也是因为他只是因为害怕你这样的而顺服，而并不是在爱里面顺服。这样的方式并没有把孩子带到神的面前，更不用说是帮助他们建立属灵的品性。就像我们自己也是做神儿女的，因为因着神的爱我们回转向神，我们顺服在神面前，我们承认自己是不义的，并且我们也努力去做一个新造的人，我们来活出神的样式，来讨神的喜悦。我们自己的儿女也会因为我们对他们的爱来回转顺服。我觉得这样一个过程才是达到了管教和养育的目的。虽然神对我们的爱和我们对儿女的爱不能相提并论，但是我觉得如果我们父母教养儿女没有爱的话， 像是很难让他们能够明白神对他们的爱和对他们的心意。即便是用责打这样的一个方式来管教，我觉得也是需要以爱为基础，而不是以自己的怒气或者是我们做父母的权柄来做这个基础。我和姐妹在管教孩子的过程当中也看到了是说哪一种方式更加有效果啊，而且孩子们也可以感受到就是我们这个不同方式之间的区别。那只是因为软弱，我经常会这个血气就跑到圣灵的提醒前面啊，不管这样的话，不管是对神对孩子都没有一造就啊。感谢神能够让我认识到这一点，也透过这个以弗所书的这个第四章来告诉我啊，做父亲的一个角色。那所以我们我跟我姐妹每天晚上的祷告就是有一条，就是祷告求神帮助我们在管教孩子上是能够有从神而来的智慧啊，能够带领他们来经历神。
感谢主。我们家是有三个男孩子啊，分别是8岁、5岁和2岁。我自己作为独生子女，我真的从来没有想过以后会养三个孩子。在这些年里面，有成功有失败，那我想我必须很诚实的说，孩子所看见的我可能是最糟糕的那个版本，因为在孩子面前的我是24/7，就是最真实的自己。因着养育孩子，我才发现我自己性格里面原来有这么多不好的东西啊，比如说缺乏耐心，对一些小事情太过于追求完美，然后常常在血气里面去说话和行事。那每一次自己有不合适的言语和行为的时候，自己心里就会很灰心，我就会想说，我自己尚且是这样的失败，我要怎么去做见证，让孩子从我身上能够看见神？那我要怎么把孩子带到神的面前？那感谢神啊，马太福音5:37他就说到啊，你们的话是就说是，不是就说不是，若再多说就是出于那恶者。那他这里大部分人觉得这是就是讲到说我们说话就是要诚实，就是就是或者不是。但我自己对这个地方的领受就是说，除了诚实可以应用到我们做父母的，就是说在孩子面前我没有办法做到一个我是一个完美的父母，就是做一个完美的见证，甚至我要做一个大部分好的见证有时候都很难。我在我孩子面前我是会有很多失败的见证那我想我在神面前的一个心意就是说，即使我有一个失败的见证，我希望我是一个真实的见证当我做错了事，我就在孩子面前承认我的错误，我和他们道歉我们也一起祷告求神能够帮助我成为一个更好的母亲。生命的改变不是一朝一夕，但是当我们有这样一颗愿意被改变的心来到神的面前的时候，神是信实的，他也是慈爱的，圣灵一定会在我们身上做工。然后当我们靠着神我们有过失败的经历，但是呢，我们在生命上有一点点得胜的时候，孩子的眼睛是雪亮的，他们能够看见圣灵的工作。就比如说上一次妈妈在这件事情上面对我发了很大的脾气，但是这一次呢，妈妈在这件事情上面就没有像上次的反应这么激烈，而是比如说先去祷告了，或者就是哪怕是一点点的进步感谢神，孩子们他们都能够看到神的手在我们身上的工作。那我想如果是这样子，那我们的失败的经历就不是白白的失败了。最近我们家老大有过一次撒谎的事情，那后来被我们发现了之后，他就承认了自己的错误。他当时心里很懊恼，他就哭着问我，他说为什么他明明知道撒谎是不对的，但他还是要撒谎。那我当时就和他读了罗马书的7，讲到保罗就说，我们常常去做我们不愿意做的，但我们愿意的我们却常常不去做，这就是我们肉体里面的罪。那妈妈其实也和你一样，经常做神不喜悦的事情，但是无论我们失败多少次，只要我们诚实的来到神的面前承认我们的过犯，神必赦免我们的罪，圣灵也会帮助我们。 当我跟孩子说完这些的时候，我能感觉到他脸上神情的变化，就他知道了说他不是一个人在对付这个罪的问题，其实爸爸妈妈在这个事情上面也是有同样的挣扎。嗯，我自己的体会就是在成圣的这条路上，我们和孩子不是教导和被教导的关系，我们其实是同路人，我们都需要被神改变，被神对付。那感谢神，神赐给我们孩子，让我们可以更清楚地看见自己在，可以更清楚地看见自己的本相。嗯，通过在孩子面前做一个真实的父母，让孩子们可以看见，无论我们是什么样的光景，神都爱我们，神的手都可以在我们身上做工。虽然他们看不见神，但是他们可以看见神的手在我们身上的工作。感谢主。
谢谢弟兄姊妹这个真实的见证，因为我们深有同感，也有同样的经历，真的是愿意，真的是我们能够顺服，真的圣灵的带领。下面就是请年轻的 Scott 和 Sophia 给我们分享。
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I'm going to share first. Hopefully, pray the Lord for the wisdom that I can.Share my sharing, like, you know, don't get nervous. Okay, so as a new parent, our experience is still like at the early stage, because like for like other brothers and sisters, you guys, you know, have experienced like their growth, you know, like you count every year, like learning from them. But as new parents, we're still counting the milestones every month, like, okay, month one, month two, month three, and 6 months, yes, she can sit. And then maybe in the future when she turned one, she can talk. And then maybe 2 years, she can communicate with us. So we're still at like very early stage, like, you know, she just learned how to sit. So praise the Lord for that. So recently,I realized that I fall into a pattern that, because I'm still working from home, so it's kind of busy every day as I have to like pay more attention to her. So every morning, like as I open my eyes, the first thing is like, okay, is she awake yet? Nope, she's not. Okay, I'm gonna do my own stuff for a little bit. But, you know, like once I start to do all my stuff, like,maybe I should read some Bible. Then all of a sudden she woke up. I have to get her ready for her day, you know, feed her and then put her down, wash the bottle, and then maybe check my emails. And then, okay, time to play with her, teach her, read to her. At the same time, I still need to check my emails. If I'm busy with my work, I have to put her aside, you know, focus on my work. You know, you can hear her like, you know,at the back, or sometimes she'll be like, and try to draw your attention. I'm like, oh no. And then it's just like every day is like busy, 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 busy. And then lunchtime, and then put her down for her nap time. You know, it's like this pattern, 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 like from the moments I wake up, like I'm like so busy till she goes to bed, you know, or like when Scott gets home, like, you know, I can have a little bit of rest. So,I just realized that my, like the pattern, like my life, it's just like I'm building myself, like, you know, like I'm just like building this. And then, you know, of course, like on Tuesdays, Thursdays, you know, my mother-in-law came to help and she can help me, but it's just like I'm still building my own building, and she helped me to build this building. And I'm like, okay, she can help me. I thought I can have rest.But the fact is that while she's trying to help me build my building, I'm like sitting there. I'm like, oh, what if she didn't build the window the way I want? What if she paint the wall the color I don't want? Like, you know, there are certain things that I want to build. You know, it's just like I still want to control. And then, you know, on Saturday when Scott is home, maybe I can have rest. You know, she can help me. I mean, he can help me to build stuff.But I'll be like, oh, what if he, you know, forgot this, forgot that, you know, it's just like every day, like my mind is like nonstop, like can't stop because I'm like, okay, thinking about this, building that, you know, it's just like never, ever stop. And it's just like one day I realized I'm like, I'm just too tired. I can't stand this anymore. And then I sit there. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on with me? Like, I'm looking at the building I'm building right now. Like, it's just like shaking. And there's like, it's not the shape I want. It's like shaking. And it feels like all of a sudden the building I was trying to build in the past, like it's going to clap one day. And like, what's going on? What's wrong? And then I realized, oh, wait, the foundation. Where is my foundation? I forgot. Because like every day I wake up, you know, I try to build my stuff like, you know, baby, you know, try to feed this, try to like feed everything into this pattern. But I forgot that the moment I wake up, I forgot to pray to the Lord, you know, like let him help me to start the day, you know, help me to build this. Because if I'm trying to build a building without him as my foundation, you know, the things I built is just like in vain. Like, you know, right now I'm just building like level one, level two, level three, level four. I mean, in the future, like for the rest of like her life, my life, you know, like there are so many things I need to work on. If I miss the foundation, you know, like, the things I'm trying to build is just like in vain. Then I realized I was talking to Scott. I'm like, I know why I'm like so tired every day. I have no energy because I missed my foundation. I didn't trust the Lord. I was like too anxious, too worried about the things like I am trying to like work on. And I forgot that, you know, because the Lord said he's, yoke is easy, his burden is light. I should learn how to rely on him, like from verse Matthew 11, chapter 11, 28, say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then like when I realized like, you know, just like all of a sudden I realized like all the things I'm trying to work on, I don't need to work on so hard, because if I like try to build the things I want to build based on him as the foundation, you know, I don't need to worry about it, because his yoke will be easy. You know, like he will share the burden for me. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone. As y'all know, my wife is stressed. So that kind of summarized what she just said for the past few minutes. but praise the Lord, you know, he gave us the wisdom to know that stop being so stressful and, you know, just submit everything to him. And so the Lord gave me a different burden for today's sharing. For this meeting, we are kind of, under-experienced because our kid is only 6 months old and a lot of your kids probably like older than that. So we can't really offer any, advice to all your parents here, but one of the burden I had ever since Samantha came to this world is, as we all know that the world is moving to a direction that is not going to the way of the Bible, right? So my main burden was that, you know, if the world is conditioned to take our children away, further away from the Lord, what can we do as Christian parents, right? I mean, all I do was just worry, and then just sit back and, you know, watch Samantha grow up one day and never return to the Lord as she go to college or, you know, whatsoever, right? And one day that, revelation that the Lord gave me is that, you know, Samantha was born to this age, of this world at this time of the age for a perfect reason. I mean, the Lord has a perfect timing for everything he does. And we all have our children that was rewarded to us by the Lord for a perfect timing for a perfect reason. And I know the world right now we're facing, even since the school you know, I was conditioned as, you know, we have all this, we have the gay community that's, you know, teaching the little children that, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. We have gun violence. We have, you know, all kind of chaotic things are facing in the school, in the world that our children eventually will go to. And I'm not saying I have a solution to that, but I was stressed for a while when I think about that, right? And I used to question the Lord, like, Lord, why can we born in the age, why can my kids born into the age, like, you know, where everything's fine, you know, like kids can go to school and pray. They can hang a cross on above the school board. And now the teacher go like, okay, guys, before the class starts, we're going to pray. And then when the class ends, like, oh, before the class ends, we're going to pray again, right? That would be perfect, right? But no, right? Nowadays it's different, right? They have the LGBT flag posted everywhere. They have different kind of like the religious group, like, you know, in school and right. And we can't do anything about it. So. And the Lord reminded me with the example of Daniel, because think about, that's like one of the darkest times the Israelite has to face in the Bible, because you know, by that time the Israelites were already taken to Babylon, and the kingdom of Israel is no more, right? So, but Daniel served as a great example of how Lord works in his, through his people. And, I'm just thinking that, you know, like, if the world is conditioned to take our children away, why can't we condition our children to change the world? You know, just, that is such a, and when I think about that, it's such an encouraged thought and notion the Lord put in my heart that I can pray for, because instead of me thinking all the time that, you know, Samantha's going to eventually go to school and come home and argue with me that everything in the Bible is not right, we're going to start her young, and with all the best power and knowledge the Lord give me, I want to raise her in a way that she will change the people around her and to spread the gospel and to live the way of the Lord so people around her can see that. I know this might sound ambitious to a lot of parents, but this is kind of like the inspiration the Lord put in my heart. You know, in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, he says, train the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it, right? We teach the way of the Lord to our kids when they're young, you know, since they're toddlers. I'm not saying that Samantha wake up in the morning, I'm going to force her to recite 22 Bible verses, okay? That's not, if she can't do that, I'm going to disappoint her. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, like everybody been sharing here, the best way to, I learned so far, the best way for a parent's to teach their child the way of the Lord is showing them, right? Like throughout my whole life, I mean, my first 10 years, I grew up in China, right? Back then, my parents were now Christians, and they raised me in the old way, you know, like a beating sounds better than talking, right? So I took a lot of beatings from my mom, right? And I didn't change a lot because I was a stubborn kid, but I truly learned how the Lord changed people through my parents, because when my mom believed in the Lord and got saved, she changed dramatically. Like I truly learned like what's the meaning of endure and the patience through my mom, because sometimes my dad got home like from work, and sometimes he took the frustration on my mom at the end of the day, and my mom endures that. And I see that, I was like, my mom doesn't used to be like that. Typically, she just fall back. So I was expecting, like, put my shield up. It's like, oh, this is going to be bad. Right? At the dinner, my dad said something. I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. I better carve myself up. But then my mom didn't say anything back. I was like, what's going on? Like, mom's supposed to say something back, right? But nothing happened. And my mom just keep her mouth shut and just eat her food. And then he just endured that. And, so for my dad, you know, my dad's known for being a hard dad, but I'm grateful for the way that he raised me. But I truly didn't learn about how the Lord doing in his life until he opened his heart one day, talked to me about like finding a job, right? Like I'm pretty sure a lot of parents talk to your kids about finding a job, but it came from a very odd situation. Is before I graduated from school, and I called my dad, like, you know, I stepped in an offer from my current company I'm working for. And the first impression my dad got is like, you know, just like any dad's like, oh, did you get a better offer from any other companies? You know, like, you know, just, there, you gotta smell the roses in the garden first before you pick one. Right? So, and I was like, no, I didn't. I kind of just, I signed the offer already. And then he's like, well, I think that's a mistake. And I need to think about it again. And then he just hang out on me. So, but then like, you know, 2 minutes later, he called me back for the first time ever. Like my dad never called me back throughout my whole life. Like if he said something in the phone here, but that's the end of it. But then he called me back. And then I was like, okay, does he want to tell me again? Like, I was like, dad, you want to tell me the same thing again? I heard you the first time, right? But my dad's like, for the first time, he told me that like, son, I prayed. And I was wrong. Like, you should pray to the Lord and see, if the Lord wants you to take this job, you should take it. And if you have peace with it, you should take it. And my mind just went blown. I was like, for 25 years, this guy never talked to me like that. And then all of a sudden, he wanted to treat me like an adult. I was like, great. Right? So like, maybe because I'm looking for a job, he started treating me like an adult. But just like, I never learned how the way of the Lord influenced my parents until they opened their heart. They're showing each other. Like, I'm just making a point that, you know, children can be influenced mostly just by their parents, by how they talk, how they behave, how they, you know, treat each other. So I think that's one of my learnings is that, you know, for me and Sophia, just for our daily life, because I know Samantha is watching us like 24/7. Well, not when she's sleeping, but you know, when she's awake, she'll be watching us all the time. So the way we treat each other, the way we talk to each other, how we pray, you know, how we bring the Lord into our lives. Because one thing I truly want Samantha to see is that we enjoy the Lord in our lives. So she can see that as like, oh, mommy and daddy enjoy the Lord. That is good. So I can't be like, I took Samantha to pray and then I turn to Sophia and scream at her the next 5 minutes. And she'll be scarred, right? So come to a practicality point of view is how to, you know, live the Lord out of us. And, you know, going back to the first sharing, you know, Michael Gloria sharing the first point that to have the peace, you know, who's ruling the peace of your heart, right? If it's not the Lord, then it will, whatever else you occupy your heart, it will come out eventually and bring the disturbance of this family. So yeah, that'll be my sharing.
Thank you, Sakai and Sophia. It's very, very refreshing, your experience. Okay, 下一个是, 舒杰, 还有刘元弟兄。
大家好, 简单交通一点, 我, 我叫刘元。 事情啊,就是说, 这么讲, 很多东西都挺明白，挺知道的。比如说这孩子呢是神赐给你的产业，你们呢就是替神来管理他们。所以说呢，我一直用神的标准来要求孩子，高标准严要求。我呢是一个罪人，我比较软弱，说我对我自己呢要求一般是人的标准。 这神赐给的产业，我们管理他们是一方面，再一个方面，很多的时候，神也通过他们来制作我们。但后面这一块呢，我经常忽略的。对孩子的要求呢，经常对他们的要求呢，我自己做不到。所以在他们身上，我看到了很多我身上的缺点和软弱的地方。 简单分这些方面，一个就是说，比如说这神的话语吧，因为神的话语是有力量的 ，OK， 那每天我们都要读，尽可能都要读神的话语，按照孩子要读，读完了讲清楚什么意思，但讲清楚意思呢，很少表扬他们，他们问他们问题，而且问他们问题，将来是让他们答不上这个问题，很难答出来的。 好像显示自己知道的有多么多。OK， 这在话语的方面，这个在管理孩子这一块，是有理论依据的。 在真言里，刚才有姊妹也有提到过，但我觉得是另外一点。在真言的23:14，你要用杖打他，又可以救他的灵魂免下阴间。OK， 打他之前别想，打声音也好，但心里真实想法是什么？那小兔崽，气死我，不打不行，我必要揍你，要用心疼这恨，这气，这那真实的想法，这是，所以这个打孩子呢，不是一个在爱里的管教，就是自己的软弱一个表现，自己发火。你要用孩子呢 ，OK， 你们不那么着急，不能吵吵。很多时候我吵吵的比他们声音更高。有的时候说你不能踏实别人啊，因为我家现在在跟这三个小孩呢，有一个是男孩，两个小女孩。那男孩呢没事就好戳击他两妹妹，这两人很生气，然后就管他，要你不能戳击。所以你不能戳，不能动别人。到我这里呢 ，OK， 我就要揍。为什么要揍？因为真言里有讲，这是像这种想法，刚刚我跟大家讲过，那是指自己世界上还气也受不了，一个那个肉体的罪的一个发动而已。所以有很多事就是自己感觉自己很多事真的很软弱。神长就说你要从这孩子们身上真的看到自己有多么的不堪，多么的软弱，就自己要被神来对付的事情有多么的多。这里我的一个简单的交通吧，让时间交给我家姊妹。
非常感谢志向姊妹的今天让我们来关于这一个抚养孩子的。
姐妹可能要大声一点，我们听不见。
非常感谢大家啊，就是说能够在这个让我们有机会呢来分享这个教养孩子。那么我家里呢是有四个孩子啊，真的非常感谢神，因为我从小呢我就喜欢孩子。那么也真的是感谢神，神就赐给我这四个孩子，也两个男孩两个女孩，确实从人的方面呢啊自己也觉得非常满意哈、啊、非常的就说这个家庭呢也是非常美满的一个家庭啊。当然呢在教养孩子的过程当中呢确实也遇到了很多很多的问题。因为大的已经上大三了啊，那么虽然养了四个孩子啊，但是四个孩子四个不同的性格，都是每一个都是有自己的版本，没办法来复制的啊，没办法来通过啊教养第一个来 copy 的第二个身上是完全不一样的，因为四个孩子四个样，好像像现在六个孩子应该是六个样啊。那么虽然有时候被这四个孩子哎呀给气的呀就想离家出走啊，真的就是觉得有时候真的就是气的真的就不行了。可是呢我从来没有抱怨过哈，从来没有说后悔过，哎呀自己有了这四个孩子哈，我一直觉得这四个孩子就是神赐给我的，让我的生活呢就是有目标啊，有目标活得更有意义。有时候我就在想哈，如果没有这么多的孩子，我的生活会不会是这个样子？虽然现在哎呀年龄也在慢慢的增大，然后体力上各方面都有点跟不上啊，就觉得有时候现在养这些孩子确实很吃力啊，尤其是在这过去的这一年，孩子们一直在家里上课，哎呀，我真的是，我觉得我这一年老了十年啊，呵呵，在家里带孩子，真的是，我能体会到家里这比我孩子更多的啊，然后更小的，该是哎呀多么的艰难，就是我为着就是在家里这一年当中，为着孩子的上课啊，这些问题，这些网络的问题，哎呀，我真是自己也哭过。也难，就是非常非常的难受啊，也找人倾诉，就是我自己也打骂孩子，真的是经历了很多。这反过头来想想呢，其实蛮多的血气在里边啊，就是有时候真的就像刘言所说的，有时候管教孩子啊，不是因为孩子做了多大的错事，而是自己心里有多么的委屈，有多么的不满，然后呢就发泄在孩子身上。其实等着打完孩子骂完孩子以后，我才发觉
其实我是一种发泄，有时候孩子那点错呀可能不值得去发那么大的火，但是呢就因为在打孩子骂孩子之前呢太多太多的生活压力过来了，所以呢以前呢我是非常骄傲的，我从小从来不跟别人说对不起啊，我是一个非常骄傲的一个，我从小因为爸爸妈妈就宠我惯我啊，我就非常的骄傲，我从来不会低头的，我跟我妈妈吵架我妈妈说从来都是她得先把我哄好了，但是到了孩子身上呢我也在慢慢的在学功课啊，我的大孩子曾经告诉过我说，有时候我说哎这个事儿妈妈说错了你了你为什么不跟我讲，他说妈妈我跟你讲你会听吗，我只能自己我不吭声你才能意识到，所以我就知道哎我做错了的时候呢，孩子其实有时候知道父母做错了，但是他们就惧怕于那种父母的那种威严，感觉上的威严好像不说话。我就从前几年我和孩子的一次对话当中呢，我就体会到我要勇敢的跟孩子说对不起啊，这也是我觉着从孩子身上我所学到的，因为我觉得教养孩子的同时呢是孩子来教育父母，那么我就有时候说不出来的，有时候真的是说不出来的，包括我家弟兄到现在为止他就是我有时候我就说我已经学会了说对不起说 sorry， 那你也要试着来说，这样呢就是在教养孩子上我觉得是更容易更轻松一些，那慢慢的我们两个都在学这个功课，因为我觉得这也是我的问题哈，就是太骄傲很不容易跟人说道歉，那就是这也是从孩子身上所学的功课嘛。再一个我觉得感受最深的就是要让孩子学会感恩，就是我家孩子哈我觉得我从他们身上这个优点啊，一个是他们从小在教会长大，他们就是读圣经啊也好啊，听的老师讲的也好哈，他们知道他们有一颗感恩的心，知道所有这一切啊都是神给的，不管是欢乐也好，不管是受管教也好，不管是经历的困难也好，都是神给的。那么从困难当中呢，他们也要学会感恩。就是有时候我就跟孩子讲，我说如果没有别人的这个错，你就不知道这是个错，那么他就教育了你，既然你别人这样做你受不了的话，那正好你就学到了你不要这样对待别人，对不对？我说这是你学到的东西，这是你应该感恩从别人身上你学到的东西。所以呢孩子是我就觉得我特别欣慰的就是孩子们很知道感恩，有时候因为在家里上课的时候中午做饭有时候我就很忙很忙的时候，哎呀我就特别急的时候我就在想，你们为什么要在家里上课还要让我给你做中午饭，要在学校里不就不用做饭了吗？所以做中午饭呢是我很大的一个负担，有时候我就真的就是像打发小猪一样，哎呀就随便给他们搞点，我说自己上冰箱里找去，然后我就要不就自己从冰箱里巴拉巴拉巴拉什么剩的呀什么反正是能吃的我就给他们巴拉一点，但是孩子吃到饭的时候他说第一句话，妈妈真好吃，妈妈谢谢妈妈，妈妈真好吃，哎呀我就觉得很惭愧，我就觉得我本来就像完成任务一样，就觉得哎呀你们真麻烦，哎呀你们要是说今天中午我不想吃饭了那我多轻松啊，但是孩子们是非常感恩的说，哎呀谢谢妈妈，妈妈真好吃，有时候我就胡乱给他们对付一点的时候他们会说，妈妈你是怎么做的，你放的是什么什么呀，我说哎呀我不知道我随便放的，他说哎呦妈妈你 random 放的东西都这么好吃，哎我就觉得真的是孩子是非常感恩的，有相比来说我们做父母的哈真的是我觉得有时候真的是从孩子身上学到太多太多的东西。那么我还有一个感受呢，就是要多跟孩子说我爱你啊，要多跟孩子说我爱你。那么作为一个典型的这个亚洲父母或者是一个中国人的父母啊，我觉得像把这个 I love you 我爱你挂在嘴边上对我们来说是有一定的困难的啊，当然不像我们在座的有很多年轻人可能就是说非常容易说出口啊，对于我们这个年龄段的是很就是说不是经过一些就是一开始的锻炼的话真的是很难说出口的。那我现在呢就试着不管孩子做错了做对了，我首先给他说妈妈爱你，然后呢才开始管教也好 做也好。当然有时候血气上来以后呢，是不管三七二十一，先骂一顿再说。就像我们这次出去滑雪的时候，我提前就把孩子该用的东西全都给他们分了，人手一份啊，一共有六份，大人孩子人手一份。结果呢，我一回头就看到我们家老二那个东西直接就丢在一边了。然后我说，你这个装起来了吗？没有。那个装起来吗？没有。我立马就火了，就跟他嗷一嗓子，他给吓坏了，就看了我一眼。其实当时呢，孩子这个事情没有这么大，而是我自己呢出问题了。因为我自己呢，就是那个车在上山的时候呢，我有高原反应，我的头开始痛呢，就开始发晕。这时候呢，我就特别想找一个发泄物，正好我就一回头就抓住了他的一个错误，我就给他吼了好几嗓子，然后整个我们车里都不吭声了。啊，因为我是很注意不要守着那个上大学的儿子来发火的，我觉得他已经成人了，我不想让他能够记住妈妈发火的那个样子啊，因为小孩子他可能过去就忘了，因为他已经成年了，所以呢我尽量少发火，但是我就意识到我失态了。所以哎呀，我就当时就特别难受哈，就是我家大的呢就看了我一眼，我也看了他一眼，我们谁都没说话，他也觉得我失态了，我也觉得我失态了。然后到了那个就是到了家的，就是开到那个家以后呢，我就先把我那个儿子小儿子搂过来，我说对不起，妈妈在车上，我就守着我大儿子，我说对不起啊，妈妈是刚才失态了，妈妈不该这样发火，我说对不起你，我对不起啊，虽然你有错啊，但是呢我不应该发那么大火。然后我小儿子就开始就抹眼泪，在掉眼泪，就在那里就哭了。那当时呢我也掉眼泪了啊，我就说因为妈妈当时身体状况有问题了，我就说不出来的一种难受，所以我就发火了。真的是就是说对我来说呢，我就觉得这个这是一个非常不好的一个见证哈，让全家人都看到了啊，大大小小的孩子都看到了。所以呢我就就是我觉得这个作为父母哈，尤其是像小孩子，我觉得在座的年轻父母呢只是体会到的小的孩子，那么随着孩子年龄的增长呢，所面临的问题呢也就是说你是说出来 I love you 啊，非常怎么样，但是呢有些问题呢真的是还是需要有一些智慧啊，需要有一些从神来的智慧来管教孩子。我就觉得真是靠人的血气是没法管教孩子，只能是靠着神啊，靠着神我们才能借着神的话啊，借着神的一些暗示，或者借着神的一些见证啊，才能来很好的教养我们的孩子，给孩子做一个好的榜样。好，谢谢大家。
谢谢弟兄姊妹这个真实的分享。真的是啊，我们常常在血气里边管教儿女，但是神还是怜悯我们，让我们真的是能够悔改，真的是能够再用爱来连接。那最后我们是请啊 David and Grace。
我也不知道该分享一些什么东西啊。因为可能是太多吧，因为这个孩子养一个孩子真是没那么容易。我就分享几点吧。就像弟兄姊妹所分享的那样，其实是一个互相成长的过程。我印象很深，我们老二呢，他很怕，他是怕黑，他因为看了一些东西呢，他就怕，他也会做梦做这些东西。我就鼓励他，我就说你不要怕，你就祷告。但是呢，他好，尤其是就跟我说他不饿。我就说你要多祷告，你要耐心的，要比陪心去祷告，这个事情会 work out 的。后来他到了一些年之后，我就问他，我说你现在害怕吗？他说我不怕了。我就跟他讲，我说你看，祷告他是 work， 但是他需要很多的时间。这件事情实际上，我觉得就像我们自己，我们碰到一些很多的事情的时候。其实也不是马上什么事情就是 work， 你需要一些时间，你要去到神面去寻求去，然后呢要长久的来去祷告，这些事情会慢慢的会 结果会显出来。我们不知道神是怎么让他不害怕的，但他后来他就真的就不怕了。第二个学习我是觉得耐心，我实际上不是一个很有耐心的一个人，我觉得什么事情都是都是这种三分钟要 right now 就这种态度，因为我再加上我是做 computer， 很多事情就是很快就应该我们要什么东西越 fast 的越好，可是很多事情不是这样。包括在纠正我们老二老三还有老大身上的一些问题的时候，我发现好难好难。比如说那个与撒谎的这件事情，其实孩子偶尔他会撒谎 for whatever reason， 他会偶尔我们会给他一些机会，但后来他还会，那我们就会有管教，我们跟他讲得很清楚了，但是后来他还是会。这些事情我就跟他要交通很多的时间，要跟他交通清楚，我自己也在学这些东西。我是觉得耐心呢他还是会 work out 的，他慢慢慢在他身上这些东西会显出来的。然后在我的身上的学习就是因为实在是没有办法，那我也希望神给我一个又聪明的又属灵的这个人见人爱的学习也好什么都好的孩子，可是我没有这样的孩子。我 I got is a normal case， 那 normal case 必须有 normal case 的办法，就是怎么做呢，就是所有的过程你必须要跟他一起去经历，这些事情都是要这样。所以慢慢慢慢呢这也在磨练我，我相信对他们也是个磨练，所以我相信这些东西会慢慢会在他将来的性格和生活中间会显出来的。第三个感受就是说现在我们也知道慢慢慢的很多东西要 legalize， 我们不喜欢的东西呢会成为 normal， 我们认为 normal 的会成为 abnormal， 那这就是很大的一个 challenge。所以我看到了这个问题，其实我也没有答案，我试着在怎么做呢，我是在想很多事情我要跟他们交流，我要讲一讲说爸爸妈妈是怎么看的，我们以前是怎么过来的，知道这些东西是怎么样的，从圣经的角度上讲是有一些什么样的不好的事情，比如说毒品，我就要跟他们讲毒品对人的危害是什么，毒品是人的什么样的问题，我就跟他讲这个东西。然后我跟他，我记得我们也看过说这个 AI 将来对你们有什么影响，然后你要怎么去 prepare 这些事情去。比如说就像那个，就像我们上次的学材，我觉得我 prepare 很好， I have a lot of food， 我讲的是真的是 imaginary food， 我有发电机，我有很多的油 gas propane， 我有这个那个，可是最后一样我的管子是没有爆，可是我们一样也是冻上的，我就发现其实很多事情你没有那么 prepare 好，这很多事情你需要跟他一起去走这些事情去，你要跟他一起去经历这些事情去。所以呢我带他们看过一些东西，让他们知道说这些东西不好，这些东西是有问题的。我不知道他们能给了多少，但是呢有时候他们回来就想说学校里面有这些吸毒的，可能是真的是 drug， 不是你们讲的美人忘了大麻这个东西，他们也知道，但他们没有去踏去，我觉得这很好。至于说他将来他自己能赔多少我不知道。第三个就是就像王世杰姊妹讲的，就是说要把很多事情要讲出来，我以前不太表扬他们，但是我发现我老三有个很好的特点，他很愿意去表扬别人去，我觉得是个很好的特点，我也在学这个东西。我是觉得我们可能太含蓄了一点，但有些事情是不要含蓄的，是应该讲出来的，所以这我也在学。所以孩子神把这几个孩子给我们了，我也学了很多的东西，我在他们身上我也看到很多东西。我总体的感受就像角色讲的是日子到最后的时候你要陪陪，我这是马太福音24章给你们讲的时候，所以你们要预备，因为你们想不到的时候人家要来了，神也要来，坏的东西也要来，在这之前，所以尤其在之前坏的要先来，所以我们要陪陪。我能想到的这些就是不管我们做什么事情，我们去有时候一些 service 的东西，我们去做一些公益的东西，就是世人看待的那些东西，我们在神面前这些 struggle， 我们要告诉他们，这是我的感受，让他们知道这些东西爸妈也有经历，你将来也会经历，你要预备好，这是我的分享。
那我就接着讲一点，我想讲主要是两点，一个就是我就想到就是说，我做父母以来是什么能够最帮助我，我就自己在问自己，然后那我的答案是祷告。我知道很多弟兄姐妹就是说你应该就是说除了祷告你做什么哈，但是因为那时候我刚信主的时候也是，比如说我有问弟兄姐妹意见，人就说祷告，我就觉得你能不能告诉我一些更实际的东西，不是就是祷告。但是这么多年走下来，真的是这个祷告对我帮助是最大的。我还在很多年前我读一本书，有一句话给我印象特别深刻，他就说有一对祷告的父母，这个孩子是有福气的。这句话当时对我印象特别的深。我那时候就在想，如果将来我有孩子，我一定要尽我自己的能力让他成为一个有福气的孩子。所以后来我就真的是会花很多时间为孩子们祷告。然后这些年看到很多的祝福都是通过祷告而来。所以我真是跟年轻的弟兄姐妹讲，真的不要忽略这个，我觉得这是极大的福气，我们能有这个祷告的权柄。而且就是在有的时候教养孩子失去耐性的时候，我后来就学习就是要安静一点，不当时直接跟他们讲，对，就要自己祷告一下，哎，你的心马上就静下来了。这真是神给我们的一个恩典，我觉得对我帮助特别大。然后还有一个是这几年我特别深的一个感觉，就是说要多花时间跟我们的孩子们在一起，在他们越小的时候是越重要的。因为我的两个女儿都已经上高中了，我就有这种感觉。比如说跟他们谈论很多的观点的时候，如果你跟他观点不同，这时候你再想纠正他的时候已经很难了，因为他有自己很多的想法，你很难把你的观念完全的灌输给他。还有一个就是现在的这种社会情况，他们所处的学校很多时候老师灌输的一些观念，孩子们比如说上网很多的东西是跟基督徒的很多的我们的理念是不同的，那这时候你怎么样才能够保护你的孩子，就必须要在他们就是越小越好，就在他们的心里能有让他们知道说什么是对的，什么是不对的。那这个就只有说你要花时间在他的身上，然后才能教他来知道说什么才是神所喜悦的，什么才是正确的。那所有的这些其实都是花时间。我们主日学那个姐妹们常常放了一句话，就是放在那里，就是说教养孩童使他们走当行的路，就是到老也不分离，也不分开。这是一样，这是完全一样的道理。但是你怎么做到呢？就是一定要花足够的时间来带他们，就是来带他们祷告，教他们怎么样祷告。然后在他们玩的时候来看他，比如说有什么需要他能够帮助他的，或者是有什么需要能提高的，然后带他们来读经，在虽然孩子很小，但可以给他读圣经的故事，然后教导他。现在以前的小孩子的话，看电视就是看儿童 channel， 但现在都不行了，因为现在儿童 channel 我都会尽量花时间来看，来跟孩子来看一两集，来看说他学什么样的，他看的是什么样的卡通片，什么有不合适的，那就也要告诉他说这个不太好，你再看别的。所以我的感觉就是言传身教是非常非常重要的，在孩子越小的时候是越重要的。现在的社会变化非常的快，所以我觉得我们真是好像那个在跟时间在赛跑那种感觉一样，然后尽量的抓住他们。所以我的感觉就是在孩子小的时候这是一个黄金的时期，是我们能够带领他们最好的一个时间，能够帮他们有一个好的这些圣经的道理，有一个非常打下一个好的基础，这样将来的时候他就能够 学习来依靠神，然后依靠圣灵的带领。所以这就是我一点的学习，感谢主。
谢谢弟兄姊妹的分享。那个真的是分享起来的时候就觉得时间不够用我们还是留一点时间不知道哪位弟兄姊妹有没有什么问题就是说可以请我们这边很多很多很多有经验的弟兄姊妹来分享一下他们的经验，或者是我们现在可以分组。
我们可以到小组里面不仅是祷告，然后就是大家也可以继续分享。我们没有故意的安排，所以请大家就用自己的母语OK。
谢谢大家。
谢谢。